Tiffany Lankus, welcome back to Press Pass. It's a pleasure to have you in studio and see you again.
Thanks again for having me.
Well, since we last left, plenty has changed as always, and I wanted to take a look at the new State Education Commissioner, Mary Ellen Elia. You wrote an article about her saying she is a reformer who gets results. What has she done as far as her past work? I know she's coming from Florida as a former superintendent.
Right. She was the superintendent of the Hillsborough County school system, which includes Tampa as the urban seat. It's one of the largest districts in Florida and also, I think, eighth largest in the country. You know, obviously, there's a different climate in Florida on a lot of fronts. But when you look at some of the top issues now in New York and across the country, there's common ground, notably Common Core. What she seemed to do with the Common Core implementation that I found interesting is, even for a district her size, seemed to take a very proactive approach to hitting the road, visiting schools, having community meetings before the controversy erupted, to explain what it was to parents, explain what it was to teachers, to hear their concerns and try to finesse the rollout. I think what you saw here in New York was probably a more reactive approach, both at the state level and in a lot of districts, is very few places were taking that kind of getting in front of it. And more so when you saw the community forums, you saw all of the meetings happening, it was after it was already a big controversy. So it seemed that the rollout of the Common Core was much smoother in her district, and she certainly credits that communication as part of it. The other really interesting thing that she made happen there is a merit pay system for teachers, and that relates directly to the teacher evaluation. So basically a system where teachers who either took on tougher assignments or demonstrated growth are given a bonus. So it's not your entire salary linked to your performance, but you get an extra kick if you show some sort of special performance in an area.
So does it appear that she could kind of turn around some of the controversy under the former Commissioner John King? Because he clearly couldn't resolve that for parents and teachers and students of what happened with Common Core. She clearly wants people to know what's happening in the classroom with students.
That definitely became clear in my discussions with her. I mean, this is a woman who has spent most of her life in the classroom. She worked for 16 years in Sweet Home. She went to Florida as a teacher and very slowly climbed her way up through the ranks. And I got the sense that she was not necessarily one of these kind of career climber, super ambitious, trying to get to the top people, but it happened more happenstance. And, you know, she served in a lot of different roles in a lot of different areas. And you do get the sense talking to her that she does really maintain that focus on the classroom. So, you know, and just her persona. I mean, John King, I think, struck people as more of, you know, a high-powered, almost politician. She strikes you as someone that you could very much imagine teaching in your kid's school. You know, now you do have a much different environment here in New York, especially with the union. So not only are you walking into an already politically hot situation, there's no question that the union in New York is one of the most powerful in the country. And in Florida, it's a right-to-work state. So you probably didn't have as much political influence on that front.
She had her own controversy, though. She was fired from her school board in her district as a superintendent.
She was, and it was a divided vote. You know, I think anyone who follows education, especially now where you seem to have these lines being drawn, kind of reform versus, I'm not sure what you call it, the people who oppose certain reforms. And, you know, you see this happen a lot. You see it happen in Buffalo sometimes where people, you know, the board, you come in with one board and the board changes. And when the board changes, you may not have a job anymore.
Did you get a sense from her on how she might come in and handle the Western New York community and particularly the crisis at the Buffalo City School District?
I suspect we will see her here a lot. I spoke to her and I actually spent a good amount of time talking to her husband, who was kind of stuck at state ed for the while this was playing out. And it was clear that they both have a real affinity for Western New York. I suspect that she will be here shortly after she starts her job on July 6th. And she said she wants to visit at school. She wants to get back to Sweet Home. She has also expressed a very keen interest in the Buffalo schools. I know she's been in contact with some board members already and has already offered to help in whatever way she can.
Did she at all weigh in or give her opinion on the mayoral control receivership topic for the city?
She didn't. And that was still, you know, when they appointed her, you know, and we still have a little bit of, I think, what's going to happen, although we should know very soon about that. But she did not weigh in on that issue.
And when you say very soon, a July 1st possibility of this potentially happening for the Buffalo School District?
For the receivership?
Yes.
The way the receivership was put in the budget is on July 1st, what will happen is the superintendent takes on the role of receiver. Now, you might think, well, isn't he in charge anyway? But the big difference with this is, as it appears now, the superintendent will be able to enact certain changes, like the time of the school day, requiring training, without it getting approved by the school board and without negotiating with the union. So it essentially gives the superintendent entire authority to make some pretty drastic changes at those particular schools.
And this is the kind of power they've been talking about over the last several months with some of the struggling, failing schools.
This is. And it was kind of a funny conversation at the school board meeting because, you know, there's still some question as to what powers the receiver will have. And it's important to note that for the first year, that receiver will be the superintendent. So it's still within the district as opposed to an outside person. But some of the board members, as they were talking about it and kind of putting the pieces together, were thinking, this is kind of what we wanted to do anyway, so maybe we see where this goes.
Does it seem like that would be the preference over mayoral control?
I think in this community, the sense I'm getting, you know, quite honestly, there don't seem to be all that many people pushing for mayoral control. And the fact that those who are doing it behind closed doors, both here and in Albany, people, I think the fact that there hasn't been a community debate about the issue has raised some eyebrows. When this first came up, it appeared that there wasn't a whole lot of support. I think when some of the members of the Senate said they might be willing to support it, people started realizing maybe there is something to this. The big question at the end of the day, I think, for most people is what influence the governor will exercise and whether he tries to push this through probably at the last minute.
Well, Tiffany Lankus, we will see you again next month when a lot of these changes
right.
will be in place.
Well, it could be a whole different landscape.
Truly. Thank you so much for coming in for Press Pass.
Thanks for having me.